Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origin Podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. Today we've got something really fascinating to dig into.
So Alex, we're talking about Zika virus today, right? But this isn't just about the virus itself. It's about what happens to babies exposed to it in the womb, even years later.
Exactly. This study is wild, Jamie. Researchers found that prenatal Zika exposure actually reprograms the immune system. And here's the kicker. It does it differently in boys versus girls.
Wait, so even if the baby seems totally healthy at birth, their immune system might be, what, compromised? That's kind of scary.
Well, not exactly compromised, but let's say altered. The study focused on neutrophils, which are like the first responders of your immune system. Think of them as the emergency medical team that rushes to fight infections.
Okay, so neutrophils are the frontline defenders. Got it. What did they find?
So the researchers used a mouse model where they gave pregnant mice a really low dose of Zika virus. Like, so low that the virus didn't even cross the placenta to the babies.
Interesting. So the babies weren't directly infected, but something still happened?
Exactly. That's what makes this so fascinating. The placenta had this immune response to the virus, and that response was different depending on whether it was a male or female placenta. Male placentas showed way more inflammation, lots of interferon and IL-1 beta signaling.
So the placenta is basically like sending signals to the developing baby's immune system.
You got it. And those signals seem to program how the baby's neutrophils will function later in life. When the researchers tested these mice as adults and challenged them with LPS, that's a bacterial toxin.
Oh, so they're testing how they respond to infections?
Right. The male offspring that had been exposed to Zika in utero showed this crazy hyperinflammatory response. Their cytokine levels went through the roof, and they couldn't resolve the inflammation properly even after 24 hours.
Whoa. And the females didn't have this problem?
Nope. The female offspring were pretty much normal. This sex difference is huge because it might explain why we see different outcomes in boys versus girls with various infections and inflammatory diseases.
So what's actually going wrong with these neutrophils? Like, at the cellular level?
Great question. The researchers did some really cool functional tests. They found that neutrophils from Zika-exposed offspring, both male and female actually, couldn't produce reactive oxygen species properly. That's ROS, which neutrophils need to kill pathogens.
So their killing ability is impaired.
Yeah. And it gets worse. They also couldn't form NETs properly. That's neutrophil extracellular traps. These are like, imagine the neutrophil throwing out a web of DNA and proteins to trap bacteria.
That's such a cool visual. But if they can't do that, they're basically less effective at fighting infections.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting from a molecular standpoint. They did RNA sequencing on these neutrophils and found this protein called A20 was way upregulated in the males.
A20? What does that do?
So A20 is this negative regulator of inflammation. It basically puts the brakes on immune responses. Normally that's good. You don't want inflammation running wild. But in these Zika-exposed males, it seems like A20 is turned up too high.
Oh, so it's like the neutrophils are being told to calm down when they should actually be fighting?
Pretty much. And what's super interesting is that A20 expression was already higher in female neutrophils at baseline. So females naturally have more of this brake system. But when males get exposed to Zika in utero, their A20 shoots up to similar levels.
That's fascinating. So the Zika exposure is kind of feminizing the male immune response in a way?
That's one way to look at it. Though it's more complex because the males still show that hyperinflammatory response initially. The researchers actually overexpressed A20 in normal neutrophils to test this, and sure enough, it dampened their response to LPS.
So they could actually prove that A20 was causing the effect. That's solid science right there.
Absolutely. But here's what I think is the most important takeaway. This study looked at offspring that appeared completely healthy at birth. No microcephaly, no obvious birth defects, but their immune systems were still affected.
Right. So this has huge implications for all those kids who were born during the Zika outbreak, doesn't it? Even the ones who seemed fine?
Exactly. The study mentions that only about 5% of babies from Zika-infected mothers showed obvious birth defects. But what about the other 95%? They might have these subtle immune changes that only show up when they get sick later in life.
That's honestly kind of alarming. Are there any other viruses we should be worried about in the same way?
Well, the researchers mentioned that this probably applies to other maternal viral infections too. They specifically bring up COVID-19. Billions of children have been born to mothers who had COVID during pregnancy.
Oh, wow. So we might be seeing the effects of that for years to come as these kids grow up.
Potentially, yeah. Though I should say this was a mouse study, so we need human studies to confirm these findings. But the mechanisms they identified, the sex differences, the role of A20, the neutrophil dysfunction, those are all things we can look for in human populations.
So what would this mean for clinical practice? Should doctors be monitoring these kids differently?
That's a great question. The study suggests that long-term immune function assessment should be part of follow-up care for kids exposed to viruses in utero. Maybe checking how their neutrophils respond to challenges, monitoring for unusual infection susceptibility.
Especially for boys, it sounds like, given that sex difference you mentioned.
Right. And actually, this connects to something we already know, that boys generally have worse outcomes with certain infections and inflammatory diseases. This might be part of why.
It's amazing how one study can tie together so many different threads. The placental response, the sex differences, the long-term immune programming, it's all connected.
And that's what I love about this research. It's not just about Zika. It's about understanding how the environment during pregnancy, infections, inflammation, stress, can shape who we become, immunologically speaking.
The whole developmental origins of health and disease concept, right? What happens in the womb doesn't stay in the womb.
Exactly. And this study adds a crucial piece to that puzzle, showing that even mild infections that don't directly reach the fetus can still have lasting effects through placental signaling.
So, before we wrap up, what do you think is the most important thing our listeners should take away from this?
I think it's this. Prenatal exposures matter, even when they seem mild, and sex matters too. We can't just lump boys and girls together when we're thinking about developmental programming or disease susceptibility. Their biology responds differently from the very beginning.
And for any parents listening who might be worried, what would you say?
I'd say this research is about understanding and prevention, not panic. Most kids are going to be fine, but knowing about these potential effects means doctors can be more vigilant and maybe catch problems earlier.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a really enlightening conversation, Alex. Thanks for breaking down such complex science for us.
My pleasure, Jamie, and thanks to everyone listening. If you want to read the full study, we'll have the link in the show notes. It's published in Nature Communications.
And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. We'll be back next week with more cutting-edge science. Until then, stay curious.
Stay curious, everyone.